Okay, Romans chapter 2, let's read verse 1. We've heard this a lot of times. We're going to talk about it a little bit. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? I won't go on reading, but you kind of get the idea of what he's talking about here. There's a difference, you know, in judging and having some judgment. There's a lot of ways that the Bible commands us to judge. There's no sense at all if we interpret this to mean that we can't judge anything or anything about anybody else. That's ridiculous. It's not the whole counsel of God. It's not what he's talking about here. But there is a point to make here. And that's what we're going to do. I hope you'll listen to me for a little bit. Take this to heart. This is very important. It's a bad problem that we find everywhere. People are prone to be severe judges of other people. You agree with that? I do. I know it's true. Whether you agree or not, I know it's true. People are awful hard on everybody else and awful easy on themselves. And it's so very easy to see the fault in others and not see the same fault in yourself. I see it all the time. I see people being so critical of somebody else and they're eat up with the same thing but don't see it. Now, we all got that problem. We just can't. We're looking through a one-way glass instead of in a mirror. And we're on the wrong side of it. It's commonly done when the accuser is guilty of the very same things. The worst judges are the people who do the same things, and that's why this verse is worded like it is. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. If we can see that in other people, what does God see in us? You know, always, if you want to be just, always turn things around. You know, how would you feel if somebody said that to you? How would you feel if somebody felt about you like you're feeling about them? Always turn it around. It's the golden rule that Jesus told us, you know. And that's the basis of it. We can see examples in the Bible of people judging and punishing others for crimes while they're practicing the very same things themselves. David, remember how David was so quick to condemn that man in Nathan's story? He was furious, and that man shall certainly die, surely die. Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Oh, that changed the whole thing real quick. He could see it. David could see the wickedness of it in somebody else. But he was blind to it, in himself. The Pharisees in John chapter 8 brought that woman caught in the act of adultery, in the very act, it says, to Jesus for judgment. But they were always talking about putting away their wives and marrying other women. You know, they thought that was just terrible that Jesus said, if you do that, you're committing adultery. They couldn't see that in themselves. But boy, they could find somebody else and nail them for it. You know, having zeal against sin is no proof of one's own innocence. There's a lot of people that fight against wickedness like child pornography or liquor or lots of things like that. I mean, I can think through my life of all the stories and things I've known about that happened, and it was to do with things like that. And then they're later found out to be involved in it themselves. You know, crusading against something, and they turn out to be one themselves. There's a lot of other examples of this, like preachers who preach against some sin and are later found to be involved in it themselves. Y'all remember Jimmy Swaggart? Mm-hmm. Yep. He's still a-going, you know. Funny how all those people that think you can lose your salvation never lose it. Ain't that something? Y'all ever noticed that? It's the work of a hypocrite when he's condemning somebody else of something while he's committing the same sin or something worse. It's hypocrisy. That's what it is. This is not a commandment against discernment, like I said when we started here. God, it's not saying that we should not have discernment and use good judgment. We're commanded everywhere else in the Bible to use discretion and judgment in dealing with people. How can you separate from people if you can't identify them as being of the darkness? I mean, how do you know who's of the world, who's of God? Well, you got to use some judgment. We're commanded to do that in dealing with people. So it can't mean the opposite of that. You know, that's not what this is. Thou that judgest another. We're going to get to Matthew 7 here in a minute, but same thing. You know, it's like somebody said here a while back, I heard them say that, you know, years ago, John 3:16 was the verse that everybody knew. I mean, if you stop somebody on the street and said, give me a verse out of the Bible, let's quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but said, not now. It's Matthew 7:1, judge not. And they've took that to mean that you have no right to say that I'm wrong no matter what I'm doing. If I'm a drunkard, if I'm a thief, if I'm even a, you know, an adulterer or a fornicator, you have no right to say that I'm wrong. Because you have your truth and I have my truth, and that's where all that goes, see. Throws everything into chaos. That's just not the way it is. God's law does not pass away. And what God said is right. Men can do whatever they want to, but they're not right and they're changing things around. It's not a command to not form opinions about other people, for that would be impossible too. You know, how are we not going to form an opinion of somebody who's living obviously wicked? It's not that at all. We're commanded to be a judge of those things. A spiritual man judgeth all things. How are you going to walk in wisdom? How are you going to walk in the light? How are you going to walk with God? How are you going to be led by the Spirit if you don't discern along the way what's light, what's darkness? What's good, what's evil? What's right, what's wrong? It's a command for us not to condemn someone's character over particular incidents in their life. Yeah. That's what it is.
That's right.
We cannot rightly judge somebody's character by one or even by a few isolated incidents in their life. Very important. Do we do that? Do we look at somebody and say, oh, look what they did. Hear what they said. Now I know what they really are. Do we do that? Or is there any charity? Is there any long-suffering? Is there any forbearance? You know, is there any way to cut anybody any slack in our judgment? I mean, who are we to judge other people? And, you know, don't take that the wrong way. Maybe it'll be clear as we get along here what I'm trying to say, but we got to take somebody else's life and walk as a whole in order to judge them correctly. Discern what they really are. Discern and make up our mind and a right opinion about who they are, where they stand. And the younger they are, the less we have to work with to discern. Somebody's not lived very long, we can't really tell. That's one thing I've learned over some decades. You can't tell which way they're going to go
exactly
when they're young. Now you can see that they're on the wrong road. Yep, we can see that. We can see they're making big mistakes. Yep, we can see that stuff. But you don't know what God's going to do.
That's
And you don't know what's in store for them. And furthermore, it's like we preach Sunday morning, we need to look farther down, farther out there than just right here with them. Just because they're out in wickedness today, that don't mean God's not dealing with them or that God's not going to deal with them tomorrow. So we shouldn't, you know, when we judge somebody like the Bible's talking about here and condemn somebody, that's the kind of judgment that it's talking about. Just write them off. You know, there is no good. They're evil. There's no hope for them. How can somebody that believes the gospel even think such a thought? How does a thought like that roll through your mind? If you know the gospel, you're a partaker of the gospel, you've experienced the gospel, how can you think like that about somebody? We got to take their life and their walk as a whole. And for a young person, it's not whole yet. Right. And in fact, for an older person, it's not whole yet. They've not finished their course. Nope. Somebody said years ago, I think it's Don Boyes, he said this. He said that don't ever make a hero out of a man while he's living. Wait till he's dead. Because you can't tell what he is until he's finished the course. I thought that was good advice way back then.
Yes.
It's also a command not to judge quickly and harshly. Why do we do that? Why do we tend to the negative? Why is it that we're so slow to judge positively and so quick to judge negatively? What are we? Bottom feeders? I mean, what are we? Are we just grubbers that just grub up the, are we mud? What are you calling the fish that live in the mud? You know, is that what we are? Why do we do that? Why do we see everything bad and very seldom see the good? At least we don't talk about it. We talk about the bad a lot more than we do the good. When we get with family, with friends, when we get together, what do we talk about? Do we talk about people? Do we talk about the Word of God, things of God? Do we talk about good things, or we talk about how low down somebody is, or how foolish they are, or what a mess they are? It's a warning against judging others, because any flaw in our own character will affect our judgment of others. Boy, it's so true. Do you know a liar thinks everybody's a liar?
Yep, that's right.
A fornicator thinks everybody's a fornicator. That's what he wants to believe. That excuses himself. See? It justifies himself. It blurs our judgment when it comes to other people, the faults that we have. A licentious man, a hypocrite, a greedy man, they do likewise. A greedy person thinks everybody's greedy. That's why he's got to be first. He's got to grab it first, because somebody else will if he don't. God is the judge, and He'll judge righteously according to truth. And I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. God's got the final say on everybody. And Jesus told us, many that are first shall be last, and many of the last shall be first. He says, it's not going to be like you think. Now, that don't mean that the drunkards and the harlots and all them are going to go in, and the good people that lived right and loved God are going to, that's what the sinners want to believe. See, yes. That's why they write these poems about best poem in the world. And it's all about the thieves and the harlots and the drunkards, and they're in heaven while the church people all went to hell. That's basically what the poem's about. Mm-hmm. Wow. And they just the Christians just pass it around everywhere, like, mm-hmm. Wow, isn't this wonderful? No, such were some of you, but amen. You are washed. You're cleansed. You're sanctified.
Amen.
Yeah. Ain't none of us can say, man, I've never sinned. I've always been a wonderful person. But I'm not what I used to be. And no, neither is any other Christian that's real, that's born again. That's not the way it is. But there's weight. You know, we may be able to condemn somebody else while we're doing the same thing and seem to get away with it, because others don't find us out, see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the key right there. If you get found out, then shame, shame, ain't it? We get shame on us because we're doing the same thing and we're revealed as a hypocrite and it's shameful to us. But there's waiting for all of us a judgment before God who sees and hears and knows all. We're going to give account of every idle word that we speak. Think about that. That ought to be a sobering thought to us. It ought to rein in our tongue, and not only our tongue, but our mind and our heart where that moves that tongue. Yeah. It ought to rein us in.
True.
Make us start speaking good. You know, this is a message I've been waiting on. Not this one, but there's another one I've been waiting on for a year and a half or 2 years now. Thinketh no evil. Doesn't say speak no evil. It says thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. It's just so, that just draws the lines in so close that, man, I don't know how to deal with it. Charity thinketh no evil. We'll have some measure of judgment applied to us. We'll have the same measure of judgment applied to us by God that we apply to others here. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? Well, I'm fixing to read it here. Let me say one more thing, then we'll read it. Therefore, it would behoove us to be merciful and patient with others, and charitable and kind, and not so judgmental and hard on others while being so easy on ourselves.
Right.
Matthew 7 and verses 2 and 3 says, for with what, this is right after he said, judge not lest ye be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You see, he's saying the same thing that Romans chapter 2 we just read. You're being hard on other people when you got the same problems. But they're hidden from you. But not from everybody else. It'd be wise for us not to judge someone based upon what we hear from others. I learned that a long time ago. I don't believe anything anybody tells me about somebody else.
No.
I don't say, that ain't true. I just set it aside. I don't allow my mind and my heart to start getting feelings about it because it's secondhand from somebody else, and particularly if it's their enemy.
Yes, for sure.
You don't take the word of enemies against somebody. So it behooves us to be merciful and patient and charitable and kind because that's how we're going to be judged.
Yeah.
You want God to be merciful to you? You want to be patient with you, long-suffering, charitable? Do you want other people to be that way with you? Well, then go and do that to others. Be that way with others.
Right.
It'd be wise for us not to judge someone when we just on what we hear somebody else say. The truth. Preacher told me a long time ago something. He said, well, there was this situation like Solomon had, you know, where who can tell? He said, well, time will reveal the truth. Time is truth's best friend. It'll just wait. It'll come out. We'll see in time who's right and who's wrong, where the evil is and where the good is here. We tend to let the opinions of others become our own without sufficient evidence. We'll just take the word of somebody else and then go to judging. People just talk. People talk a lot and don't listen very much.
Yes.
And they just catch a word here and there. This deal with Dad. He's been sick, you know, and all. We've got, I don't know how many messages from other people. Well, so he had a stroke?
Yeah.
Some people thought he had a stroke. Some people thought he had a heart attack. And it's people that know us. I mean, and people that should have been listening. I mean, but that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't, they just don't listen. That's all. And so when it comes to saying bad things about other people, now boy, the ears perk up real quick when you go to talking about somebody. Why do people love that so much?
Why?
Why do people love to speak evil of other people? Something wrong in there.
Yes, sir.
There's just something wrong if you relish the taste of blood, you know. How wicked is the sin of doing injustice to somebody's character? See, that's the evil of it. It takes their good name. His happiness and usefulness depend a lot on his reputation. Do you care about your reputation?
Yes, sir.
Do you care what people say about you? Think about you?
Yes, sir.
Well, you ought to. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, that's a fool's song, if you ask me.
Yes, sir.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Proverbs 22:1. I look at them numbers and they go like this. I'd rather have a good name, and the Bible says that's the thing. A good name rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving honor rather than silver and gold. See, I don't care if people like me or not. Well, that's another fool's song. Life is a whole lot easier if people like you. If people trust you. If people think you're a person of your word, life is much easier. And I could just go on and on and preach a whole message about that right there. You live out in a place like this. You know, I tell other people like how the bank deals with us and stuff, and they just shake their head. They say that we never heard of such as that. Dad's wife, Helen, she worked in a bank for years. And when she married Dad, she just couldn't believe what the bank over here did. You can't do that. Because they'd just say, well, just write a check. I mean, for thousands of dollars. Just write a check and come in when you can. She said, they can't do that. Well, they did it all the time. Mm-hmm. They still do it.
Yeah,
it just makes a difference if people trust you.
Yes.
Makes life much easier. You don't have to sit for 2 weeks waiting on them, Gary, to run all of everything in the world, and the FBI and the CIA and everything on you to figure out if they can loan you $4,000 or not.
Right.
You see that all the time, don't you, down there? Did when you're selling cars. My goodness. But not only that, it just makes life a lot sweeter when you've got a clear conscience.
Yes.
And you can look anybody in the eye and know that you've not cheated anybody. When Samuel was laying it all down for Saul to be the king, you remember what he said? He called all Israel together and he said, now, I'm just going to paraphrase, but he said, if I've done anybody wrong in my whole life, he was an old man, from a child to an old man. He said, speak up right now. Not a person had one thing to say about Samuel that he'd done any wrong to anybody in his lifetime.
What a
life. Yeah. That's powerful, boy. Whenever Saul turned out like he did, reckon those people remembered that day? It kind of hurt Samuel, really, because they wanted a king. But the Lord comforted Samuel by telling him, they've not rejected you. They rejected me. Samuel was a faithful man, a good man, a godly man, and he did right all of his life. And he died with a good name. So a good name is rather to be chosen than precious ointment. But that doesn't mean that people are not going to speak evil of you. Jesus was the perfect man, the only one that ever did live. They said he was a blasphemer. They said he was a devil, had a devil. They spoke to him, you know, degradingly, like this fella. We know Moses, but this fella, you know. They said everything they could say about him. Disrespectful and they had to hire false witnesses against him because they couldn't find anybody that could really accuse him of anything. Somebody said this, who steals my purse steals trash, but he who steals my name steals that which not enriches him, but makes me poor indeed. The name of a good man is slandered and ruined. It robs the whole community of the good that would have been done by that good man. There's been a lot of good men whose reputation was ruined by some cruel tongue. Who really, I mean, you gotta nail it down to the fact it comes from hatred. That's why we speak evil of other people. It's to try to destroy them. I mean, you might as well just take a knife and stick them with it. As to speak evil against somebody and broadcast it, you know. Speak evil and tell other people about it. What you think. Put a slander on them. We're living in such a time where this is just totally out of control. We're all vulnerable. Anybody is vulnerable, especially men, to things now. You don't have to do a thing wrong. All that you got to do is make somebody, you know, somebody don't like you. Sometimes it's for no reason. They just do it for pure old meanness. Just meanness and fun. Accuse somebody of something. Well, you're marred. Your name is marred for life. Whether you did anything or not. Because everybody believes it. Everybody believes every evil report about everybody else. No matter what. And if they don't, they've always got that question in their mind. You just can't clear yourself. That's how out of control this is. And in the world, not only in the world, but in the church also. It's one of the most commonly practiced sins in the church and in the world. Slander. It's amazing how quickly people grab onto the slightest evidence and condemn their neighbor. Very seldom got anything good to say about their neighbor, though. You ever had a good neighbor? It's the most pleasurable thing to condemn someone else and bring them down in the opinion of others. Man, I've been around some people in my life, and I could tell you who they were, but it was just like drowning or something. When I'd go around them, that's all they did. They never talked about anything else. And they were supposed to have been missionaries and preachers and stuff. But that's all they did. Just talk about everybody else and how rotten they were. And I didn't want to be around it. I just got away from it. I just leave. I don't want to hear all that junk. We don't need to be doing that. People seem to be able to indulge in this sin without the least problem to their conscience. What's the matter with their conscience?
Right.
If you say something bad about somebody, do you feel nothing? Mm. Nothing? You can lay your head on your pillow and go right to sleep, and the Spirit of God don't condemn you for that? Doesn't trouble you about that? It's a sin that's very habit-forming. It becomes your normal way of thinking of other people and treating other people. It's always bad. You just look for the faults and zero in on them. It's like a missile, you know, a heat-seeking missile. You're just looking for whatever fault you can find and then nail it. Get it down so you can tell somebody else about it. Sometimes, you know, someone given to that sin becomes more and more committed to their own selfishness. At the same time, they become less and less concerned with the rights and the feelings and the considerations of others. Do you see my point right there? As you see the faults in others, you become more blind to your own. You consider yourself to be the perfect person with no faults because you never look at them. You're too busy looking at everybody else's. So it strengthens your selfishness. And so that's bad, bad deal. Did you ever, You know, people, let me just interject this. It's not in my notes here, but people look at other people as things. You don't look at them as people until you begin to know them a little bit. You know, I've had a few jobs that I worked long time ago, but around other people. But it's just like going to school. You know, they find somebody to pick on, and boy, they just mercilessly pick on somebody. I've seen them do that to people, and then, you know, I'd see that guy with his family and his children, and I'd just think, man, if they could just see that he goes home to a wife and children, and, you know, he's a real person. Why would they do that? Why do they treat him like that? Because they don't consider that. You know, Jesus, that one blind man he healed, he said he spit in the mud and put it on his eye, and then he told him to wash it off, and he did all this stuff that he usually didn't. You know, he didn't always do that great extents, but he said, wash, and he did, and he said, what are you seeing? He said, I see men as trees walking. So then he washed again, and he said, now what do you see? And he said, I see all men clearly. See, we don't look at people. We just look at them like trees. Yeah. There's things, trees. We don't stop and consider they're a person, has feelings. Right. You say something mean about them or to them, it hurts them just like it hurts you. Somebody does that to you.
Yep. That's right. Yep.
If they get wind that you're talking bad about them or making fun of them, it hurts them just like it does you. If you hear that people are laughing at you and making fun of you or talking evil about you. I don't know. It just ought to be took out of children when they're little. Not allow them to do that.
Right.
It ought to be a point made by parents and everybody else. You don't treat other people like that. And you don't say things like that to other people. Or about them to somebody else. You don't ostracize certain people and just put them out. The sin strengthens itself once you've made a statement against somebody. See, you stick your neck out there and say something, you're out on a limb, see? Then you got to prove it. What if somebody asks you to prove it? You know what I heard? Well, so-and-so told me about that. You ought to cut it off just like if they're trying to cuss. I don't want to hear. If they start, hey, I got a dirty joke, you want to hear it? No, don't want to hear no dirty joke.
Nope.
I got something about, you know what I heard about that person? You'd never believe it. Let me tell you. Nope, don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that. Once you've made it, you got to stand by it. It's like telling a lie. Once you tell that lie, then you got to dig in. Well, you got to dig in and set your feet and keep protecting yourself, or else you're uncovered as a liar. If what you've said is proven wrong, then your own character is damaged. And oh, mercy, can't allow that. Your own character is at stake then, and you'll do anything to protect your own name. So it's a thing that strengthens itself and sustains itself, keeps going. You can't just kill it and crush it unless you just come clean and say, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing it. I shouldn't have said that. And get it right by going and apologizing. Yeah. It's the cruelest of sins. It ruins people's lives, people. It ruins people's lives. I've seen people's lives ruined by people picking on. I seen in the obituary, it's been a year or two now, but a guy died. I went to school with him. He was always picked on. He was the guy that everybody picked on. He was the guy that got nailed to the wall in building trades class. You know, he's the guy that always got something done to him. And there wasn't no reason. There wasn't nothing wrong with him. He was just happened to be the guy that everybody zeroed in on. I seen that he died. And I just remembered a lot of things from back then. And I seen how his life went after all of that. Not good. Ruins people's lives. Proverbs 26, verse 22, the words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Health. The tongue of the wise, the tongue of the godly, is health. Not poison. It's not bitter. It's sweet. It's health. It ruins people's influence. It's what separates friends. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife. Now that froward is perverted. He's got a twisted, it's crooked, perverted. He don't think right. He don't talk right. Straight. He soweth strife. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. What is one of those things that God hates? He that soweth discord among brethren. How do you sow discord among brethren? You carry tales. And you tell this person something that this person said or supposedly said. Or thinks. Some people can read minds. They'll tell you what so-and-so thinks. God hates that. And it's all part of this. It's all tied to this. It displeases God more than any other sin that people commit. I believe because it's committed more than any other sin that people commit. And people commit a lot of sins, but boy, this is probably the most common. They wag that old tongue about other people so much. It's a wonder they ain't got calluses on their tongue. Unbelief is nothing more than a slander of the character of God. Think about that. That's why God hates that sin so much. Unbelief is you don't trust God. You think God's a liar. You think God won't tell you the truth. He won't do you right. He won't keep His word. That's what unbelief is. And that's why it's so offensive to God. God will judge it severely. Let me just read a few quotes here of God. I had another passage of scripture there, but I'm going to wind her down here. Here's a quote from somebody one time, long time ago. They said, "How little do they see what is, who frame their hasty judgments upon what that which seems." People in their imaginations, they imagine all kinds of evil against one another. And it's always wrong. You know, just like this. This just seems like a silly thing, but it's not around here. Around here, everybody waves at. When you meet them on the road, you wave. If you know them.
Right.
I know a lot of them. You know, I recognize their car if I'm looking. But I'm driving along thinking about things, and I can't see too good anyway. And a lot of times they'll go by and I see them waving, and I didn't wave at them. Now, they may think he just stuck up and arrogant. He won't wave at nobody. I used to think that about some people because they did that. I know Willie Wilton always did that. You know, he would never wave at you. And that's what it was. He was just thinking. He wasn't paying attention to the cars on the road. But see, that's how it is. You know, people have got offended at church because of things they imagined. You know, I had a woman, she got so mad at me because she played the piano, and we had some company come to church one night, and this girl was a real pianist. And I said to her, I said, "Won't you come play the piano for us? We like to hear you play." That's all I said. Oh, it made her mad because in her imagination, I was just saying she wasn't no good. And, we didn't like to hear her because... See?
Yeah.
How little do they see what is, who frame their hasty judgments upon that which seems. Sometimes it may seem that we're being cold-shouldered when all it is they're just, their mind's on something else. Don't judge one another like that. A man never discloses his own character so clearly as when he describes another's. I remember a story about George Washington that just exactly fit that. We'll go on. The worthiest people are the most injured by slander, as is the best fruit which the birds have been pecking at. Slanders are like flies that pass all over a man's good parts to light on his sores. To murder character is as truly a crime as to murder the body. The tongue of the slanderer is brother to the dagger of the assassin. That's true. That ain't in the Bible, but that's true. The truth of that is in the Bible. Never throw mud. You may miss your mark, but you'll have dirty hands. I hate the man who builds his name on the ruins of another's fame. Yeah. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There will be a day when we will regret every evil thing we said about somebody else, even if it was true.
Yeah, it's true.
God's a judge, and God will take care of it. We don't have to. We don't have to get our hands dirty and our conscience defiled and our reputation soiled to spread it. We don't have to do that. Speak evil of no man. That's what the Bible says. Why is that so hard to do? What is it about us that always turns into a vulture? Why do we like to feed on the rotten stuff? Your soul will be so much sweeter. You know, I know that's kind of disgusting, but you know, you see all these buzzards and stuff. And do you? The other day we seen one. I told her, I said, "Don't you know those things gotta stink? I mean, they eat that, and they just gotta reek of it. They do. Yeah. Well, but why? It's you skinned one, didn't you, or something? But so you know, think about that. Apply that to this. You know, hummingbirds don't smell like that. You know, if you feed on the sweet, you'll be sweet. You feed on the dead and rotten stuff and death, that's what the whole atmosphere around you is going to be like that all the time. Mm-hmm. Just some good advice tonight for all of us. We need to see the good.
Yes, sir.
We will do much more good in this world and with our life and with our posterity by seeing the good in people than the bad.
Yes, sir.
I've told you before, but what you suggest to little children has a big effect on how they turn out, which way they go. My grandma, I don't even think she was a Christian, really. Yeah. Especially then, when I was little. But I remember her telling me, you know, "You're a good boy. Good boys don't..." Because I went to school, learned a bad word. I come back and told Grandma this new word I'd learned. She said, "Oh, my goodness." I was about 6. She said, "Don't say that. That's a bad word." And she said, "You're a good boy. And good boys don't talk like that." She didn't wash my mouth out with soap and say, "Good night. What in the world's the matter with you? Don't you know better than that?" I didn't know any better than that. I never heard that before. That made a difference.
Yes.
No, I never forgot that. Yep. I didn't say it no more. Put that in practice all around, in 360 degrees.
Right.
A word in due season. How is it? There it is. Well, it's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver.
Mm-hmm.
There's another verse too that said a word spoken in due time.
In due season, how good is it?
There you go. In due season, how good is it? This does so much good. It can do words. There's a poem my mom had. "A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life." It just goes on and on. It's true. Watch them words. Let's use them like God wants us to use them. There's more to being a Christian and walking in holiness than just abstaining from a few vices. It has to do with our what comes out of us. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Something wrong in the heart, fix that. Then the mouth will be a fountain of life. There'll be rivers of living water come out of us instead of sewage. Yeah. Amen. Father, thank you for the message here that just reminds us all to bridle that tongue. Bible said, James said that if any man bridleth not his tongue, his religion is vain. Lord, help us to realize that. And this is the major area. We don't really have any trouble, most of us, about saying profanities and things like that. But my, we sure are prone to speak evil of other people, which is worse, far worse than the profanity. Please help us to realize the balance here of these things and the truth that you've given us here. Help us, Lord, to walk in it now in Jesus' name. Amen.